Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wednesday's edition of All Subjects Everything. I am your host, Chris Stevens. Hopefully you are ready to get over the hump day hump. If this is your first time tuning in, All Subjects Everything is an internet interactive radio show. When we are live on the air, you can call in with a question or comment at 661-554-9194. You can also check us out on the Blog Talk Radio. Oh, wow, wait. No, I was forgetting to do something this morning. Okay. Now you can check this out in the Blog Talk Radio Network chat room if you're listening live, as a few of my Steam listeners like to do. And if you're following along via Twitter, just use the All Subjects Everything hashtag. And if you can't catch us live, we're available on iTunes. You can go to the iTunes store, search for All Subjects Everything under podcast, download the shows for free. While you're there on the show page, rate us from 1 star to 5 stars. Write a little review list. What you like, what you don't like, what you'd like to hear and see in future shows. And we will do our very best to accommodate you. Free smartphone users. All and tablet users, All Subjects Everything is available on the Stitcher mobile app. Can download Stitcher to your smartphone. Search for All Subjects Everything there. Take us with you in the car, the gym, the office, wherever you want to get in on the conversation. And don't forget to like our Facebook page, facebook.com/AllSubjectsEverything. There you will find show links, news, and updates as to what we're working on. And we'll be rolling out poll topics and questions soon that you guys can talk about amongst yourselves. We'll jump in every once in a while to guide the conversation. And that will help us to develop a better show. Okay, so last night, People vs. O.J. Simpson, the 10-week odyssey that had most of social media and the world gripped, is now over. It ended with the verdict, you know, being reached in just over 4 hours, and the fallout from the verdict was immediate. And honestly, I think that's the way it should have been. There really wasn't a lot of, you know, beating around the bush with this. You know, they had the closing statements from, you know, the defense. Of course, Johnny Cochran's a legendary. If it doesn't fit, then you must acquit. O.J.'s ham-handed, you know, weak statement about, you know, he would have never done this to Nicole and he wants to get back home to his family and friends. And, of course, jury, defense rested, prosecution rested. Jury went in there, you know, eventually, you know, got an 11-1 verdict, you know, after convincing the one white woman in there that, you know, it was time for this whole thing to be over, and they really felt like the evidence was circumstantial, which, of course, we've seen over the course of this show and in different, you know, analytical moments of this O.J. trial that proved to be false. Like, everything was there. Like, we know he didn't. Everybody know he did it. Even Rob Kardashian Sr. knew that O.J. did it. Problem is that, you know, it probably, you can argue that, you know, that really strained Robert Kardashian and Kris Jenner's marriage, even though Bruce Jenner was probably already in the picture, knowing Kris. But that was, you know, one of the underlying, you know, storylines of the story was, you know, this feeling of guilt, this contradictory feeling that Robert Kardashian Sr. had, that while he was there every day for the trial, deep down in his gut, he had this sinking feeling that O.J. did it. Like, even after the verdict was announced, And, you know, and they, you know, they cut to, after commercial break, Rob Kardashian Sr. is in the bathroom of the L.A. County courtroom vomiting. Because, of course, Nicole Brown Simpson and Kris Jenner, well, Kris Kardashian at the time, were good friends. And, of course, I mean, you know, they run, I mean, you run in the same circles. Like, Bob Kardashian's your friend for, you know, O.J. Of course, he's married to Nicole, and, of course, Bob Kardashian Sr. is married to, you know, Chris, and, you know, they run together. So more often than not, you know, those types of things, you know, domestic violence and whatnot, usually are known. And, you know, Kris Jenner, from the start, pretty much fingered O.J. and, you know, but wouldn't say it around their kids. Like, that was, you know, Robert and Chris's big argument was O.J. didn't. No, O.J. didn't do it. But as, you know, as the series wore on, you just had the feeling that Robert Kardashian Sr. knew that O.J. did it. And the penultimate moment of this is when O.J. gives that weak-ass statement about, you know, he'll be soon devoting all of his time to finding the killer or killers. And Robert Kardashian Sr. couldn't take it anymore. He just looked around. He looked at O.J., shook his head. And, you know, O.J. had given Robert Kardashian his Bible back. And before leaving, you know, Jason Simpson, you know, asked, O.J.'s oldest son, Jason, asked, you know, Robert where he was going. He's like, Bob, where are you going? He said, I'm done, Jason. Like, that was it for him. That was it for him. He looks back at O.J. posing with, you know, random women, and then just, you know, drops the Bible on the nightstand on the way out. That was it. And that was, you know, pretty much the end of their friendship. And it was at that point during that party that O.J. started to realize that, you know, he really didn't have any friends. Because he called the Riviera, you know, he said he was going to get a table for 15 at Riviera, even the guy he said he told Jason to call said that, you know, O.J. was persona non grata at that establishment. So while everybody's partying and having a good time, he takes a champagne flute out to where his legendary statue is standing. And as the series ends, that's where it ends. O.J. realizing that O.J. Simpson, the football player, was a hero to many, but O.J. Simpson, the man, got away with murder, and everybody pretty much knew it. Which was a fitting end to a fun 10-week ride, without any question. That was, you know, one of the best, you know, miniseries that I've seen in years. Probably the best miniseries I've seen. And, you know, just the casting, you know, from top to bottom. Even though we talked about it yesterday that Cuba Gooding Jr. is a dwarf compared to O.J. Simpson, even though Cuba Gooding Jr. is not a real dwarf. I mean, O.J. was just an immense man. I mean, you don't run for 12,000 yards, or however many yards it was O.J. did in 10 or 11 seasons, you know, being a fluke, being a lightweight. Like, O.J. was about 6'2", 6'3", 220 pounds. Cuba Gooding Jr. might be 5'10", 185, 190, maybe, generously, being generous. But everybody else was spot on. Nathan Lane is F. Lee Bailey. I didn't figure out it was Nathan Lane until about 3 weeks ago, which is pretty hilarious. You know, John Travolta, who executive produced the damn thing, was pretty good as Robert Shapiro. And Courtney B. Vance, once again, is Johnny Cochran Jr. We don't need to see anybody else for an Emmy. Give Courtney B. Vance his Emmy now. Don't waste any time. We don't need to see nobody else. We don't need to see nothing else. Courtney B. Vance is Johnny Cochran, owned the series. It was his from start to finish. Give that man his Emmy now. Let's not waste any time. Let's not be foolish about it. Courtney B. Vance as Johnny Cochran, you know, killed it. Flat out killed it. Also, you know, Sterling K. Brown, you know, with a convincing portrayal as Christopher Darden was pretty excellent. Sarah Paulson, my new woman crush, as Marsha Clark was pretty damn good. And just from top to bottom, and even my man Ross from Friends. I can't remember his name, which really gets on my nerves. I just know him as Ross from Friends. But him as Robert Kardashian Sr. was pretty, you know, excellent. There, you really can't find fault with any casting in this entire, you know, entire situation. The cast was on point from start to finish. And they all delivered convincing performances. Every last one of them. So we really don't, I mean, so, you know, what does, you know, FX do for an encore in terms of the People versus O.J. Simpson? Well, word on the street is the next American crime story coming up, Hurricane Katrina. Yeah, it's going to be ugly. It's going to be, I mean, the people of New Orleans, the displaced, the people that have gone back, or even just, you know, the people that have, you know, moved in opportunistically or otherwise, will, you know, will definitely have a say in, you know, how this series looks, you know, to them. Because none of us have ever experienced what those people experienced, you know, Labor Day weekend 2005. That's something that we're probably, you know, going to be talking about in terms of disasters go, disaster planning and recovery for the rest of our days. Like, Hurricane Katrina legit should be in textbooks on how not to handle a crisis. Shouts out to, you know, the Bush regime. But if that is indeed what FX has planned next for American Crime Story, then I'm very, very interested to see, you know, how Bush looks, how Mike Brown looks, how Ray Nagin looks, how just the people of New Orleans are going to be represented in this series. Yep, apparently, according to the Hollywood Reporter from way back in January, that it will be, you know, Hurricane Katrina. So really looking forward to seeing how that plays out. But People versus O.J. Simpson was absolutely some must-see television, without any question. So we'll probably be, you know, I imagine we'll probably get to this, you know, the end of this year, beginning of next year, kind of like, you know, we did with, you know, the People versus the Jews. So yeah, it'll probably be something, you know, they'll start filming now, or, you know, are already filming, and then, you know, by the time, you know, we get to Christmas time, 2016, New Year 2017, they'll probably be ready to drop it. So looking forward to that. But I really hope that FX decides to run the American Crime Story of OJ in reruns, because it's excellent. It's absolutely excellent. You can't beat it with a stick. It's just absolutely phenomenal from top to bottom. And the way it was shot, and the way it was written, the way it was cast, the actors and the actresses, everybody did the damn thing, without any question. Everybody put in work. Like, you literally can't find fault with anything in that series, in my humble opinion. I can, anyway. Maybe some other people can. But for the most part, it absolutely was representative of that time period, everything that was going on, you know, in the trial, outside of the trial. You can't knock it without a good reason, anyway. If you can find a good reason. But yeah, kudos to those folks. Kudos to John Travolta for exec producing this project, you know, the casting and all of that. Everybody did the damn thing. Can't even front. It was some fun television to start off 2016. Moving on to another show that, you know, should be fun coming down the stretch here during sweeps and the end of, you know, the live TV season is Empire. Empire finally was returned last Wednesday, March 30th, after taking Christmas, New Year's, Valentine's Day, Easter off. Like, 3 months. We were 3 months after Hakeem Lyon, you know, stabbed his father in the back and, you know, voted him out as the CEO of Empire, Empire returns. And the overwhelming sentiment is that you know, Lucius and Cookie getting back together just for the express purpose of taking back Empire is truly what's going to be best for this show. But I do really find myself, you know, annoyed with Hakeem Lion just from the standpoint of, number one, you know, this dude can't stop thinking without the head that's not on his shoulders. Like, for one, we're just starting to find out that he got Boo Boo Kitty pregnant. He's still messing with Naomi Campbell's character. And now he's finally gotten to bed the lead singer of his group, his Diana Ross. This is the little Diana Ross, Berry Gordy situation of Empire right here, you know, with Hakeem and the Latina girl. And so he finally gets her in bed. So here we are. This dude, you know, just seems to, you know, think impulsively. He thinks with the wrong head, and he just totally stabbed his entire family in the back. But Lucius, you know, gave him an out. Lucius, for one, admitted to Hakeem that the spot they were standing at the close of last week's Empire was the spot that he had killed Bunky at. So, Lucius gives Hakeem the gun. Tells him to shoot him. In fact, turns his back on his son. And, you know, if somebody's going to shoot you in the back of the head on this episode, on this TV series execution style, it's Mr. Drip Drippity Drop. Like, I have no doubt that, you know, like, Yaz as a person, I don't know him. Like, I mean, but he, I mean, I can't say that in real life he would probably shoot somebody while their back was turned or stab somebody while their back was turned. But in this series, Hakeem Lion is definitely the guy that would do some underhanded stuff like that. But surprisingly, he did. He dropped the gun and told Lucius, I'm not playing by your rules. And Lucius warned him, you better kill me or I'm going to kill you. So now Hakeem not only has all these women to juggle, his career, Empire is a label, now he got to worry about, you know, when his father is going to, you know, knock him off. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy. Okay? Like, I'm not a Hakeem fan, dog. I'm just not. So for him to, you know, catch the fade is going to be pretty funny when it happens. Because while Cookie has worked her way, given herself an in, you know, with Jamal and Andre still on board, Lucius is still going to try to kill him. Unless Cookie talks some sense into him, you know, from a mother's perspective. Because I don't even think Cookie wants, you know, Hakeem dead, even though she beat the shit out of him with the broomstick. After, tell him, change the vote, boy. Change your vote. But there's so much to, you know, to look at, you know, as this season comes to a close. I don't know exactly how many episodes of Empire are left, but we will find out very soon, you know, what happens, you know, with Boo Boo Kitty's pregnancy. Did she indeed push Rhonda down the stairs to force a miscarriage of her and Andre's baby? Will Cookie and Lucius get back, you know, get Empire back together? And if they do, what will happen after they retake over the company? That's what I would very much, you know, like to, you know, find out. Yeah, let's see. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We got 9 episodes left, yo. 9. No, wait. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We got 8 episodes left. Number 9 was last week. Number 10 was last week, pardon me. 10 of 18. So, yeah. So we're going to find out in the next couple months, you know, what's going to happen here, you know, with Hakeem, with Lucius, with Boo Boo Kitty and, you know, Rhonda and the whole thing. And it's really, you know, interesting that Empire comes back after a 3-month hiatus after we viewed the New York Undercover Unsung Hollywood app and how Fox seem to want to be down with the culture, but not too much. And it showed. It absolutely showed. And I think, and I'm afraid, I'm very afraid the same thing is happening to Empire, because I can honestly see Fox now. If we can see, if Fox can tell New York Undercover to whiten it up in 1996, there's no doubt in my mind that they will ask Empire to do the very same thing in 2016, and that's when Lee Daniels will probably tell them to go screw themselves, and then that'll be the end of Empire. That should be the penultimate fear for us all, that Lee Daniels gets in a standoff, in a Mexican standoff with Fox, you know, network, Fox Television, and then, you know, Empire's gone. I don't know about after this year. I don't even know about after next year. But if this series doesn't perform very well in the second half on the back end, I can see some changes coming, and I can see them not being favorable changes for Empire. So hopefully these next 8 episodes give us, you know, all the bang for our buck and that keep us tuning in, because right now, you know, a 3-month break in the middle of the season just doesn't seem to, you know, gel very well with, you know, most television series. I mean, granted, Scandal and, you know, How to Get Away with Murder, you know, they take those breaks, but ABC is solely behind Shonda Rhimes. Like, ABC loves them some Shondaland. So there's no, you know, nefarious reasoning behind, you know, Shondaland and, you know, TGIT getting a month or 2 month break, or however long it was, you know, between Christmas and, yeah, it was barely 2 months. It was barely two months. Wasn't even that, yeah, because they ended, you know, about a week or two before Christmas, and they came back, you know, first, second Thursday in February. So it was about 2 months break, if that long, for Shondaland. But that was because, you know, ABC has, you know, of course, the whole Rockin' New Year's Eve stuff. They do the bowl games. Fox doesn't have all of that, especially now they have Fox Sports Network. So what's the excuse? Why was Empire gone for 3 months? And there was really no need for Empire to be preempted by American Idol's last season, because nobody gives a shit about American Idol anyway. I'm just saying, if you don't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it. And that's what really, you know, should be a concern to Empire fans everywhere, because, you know, they did it with New York Undercover. Legitimately wouldn't surprise me if they tried the same thing with Empire. But we'll watch tonight. Of course, we will watch until the bitter end, because that's what we do. We watch when the season starts. Well, actually, I didn't watch the season premiere live with folks, because I was at the internet concert. But yeah, I'm still very excited about, you know, going to a concert on my solo. I'll probably explain more about, you know, exploring my life in general, you know, as this podcast, you know, progresses. But, you know, yeah, I didn't watch the first episode Empire of the season live, but every other episode I've been there. And I will be there again, unless my freelance bosses have something planned for me Wednesday night. Really, man, I got something tomorrow night. Like, I really wanted to watch Scandal live, because the last couple Thursday nights I've fallen asleep early or late on Scandal. But I wasn't going to do that this week, but I have a game tomorrow night. So I'll probably end up catching the second half of Scandal and missing it entirely, so I'm probably going to have to DVR it. But we'll probably discuss, you know, Scandal tomorrow, you know, as we go and figure out. Yeah, we'll probably also get into a Major League Baseball discussion. We'll probably get to the last couple games of the NBA regular season to talk about, you know, who's fighting for playoff position where, and then Friday will just be a wild card show, if we do a Friday show at all. But that being said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to Wednesday's edition of All Subjects Everything. Greatly appreciate your time. If you missed us live, blogtalkradio.com/Chris Stevens, on air, iTunes, All Subjects Everything. Same thing for Stitcher Mobile. Once again, Thursday, yeah, we talk a Scandal, we'll talk NBA, we may get some Major League Baseball stuff done, who knows. But until then, y'all be good, or be good at it.
Hit me up on Twitter. Turn me up a little bit. At 368Hustle. Radio Raheem. G-Mix.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Take off that Gucci, this and Louis that. Break out the Magnum, go to 12 pack. And then I'll lay you down on the back and get that foreplay going. bite your bottom lip, that's sexy too. But your eyes roll back and up. And I'm so hard, like a brick of white heart, like a mountain on top, like a rim shot drum. When you give me some, I rock the Marvin in the very white. You holler, rock this thing, boy, all night. I let you ride it like Ferrari. Got your body soaking wet, sweating like Safari. Ooh, from sundown till white turns gray. We sex, sex, sex to the next day. That's how it is. Every time we mingle, I make a quitter boyfriend. Tell him that she's single. She's single. Tonight she's single. Game over. It's a wrap. Bingo. I give her kiss and a little hug. Some real good love. But you're wide open and she'll bring it right back to me. Tonight she's single. Tonight she's single. For dear life, while I'm all up in a paradise, I make a melt like ice cubes. Oh, she's so sexy when she's in the nude. I love it when she do that shit. And it's my when I'm calling it, and my name, she be calling it, and I hit it like a hockey stick. Jersey number 69. I'm all on her, she's all on mine. She said, microphone's her favorite song, so I keep it G, put it on, and let her perform. Yeah. She called me Mr. Marathon. Like a distance runner, I perform. Where I stroke and taste it, and taste it. Yeah. Man, it's no wonder that she's single. Yeah. Tonight she's single. Game over.